Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
If you need one of these lesson guides, Ms. Karen has them, and I want you to have one. I know that you probably have heard this story a bunch, but when I finished at Southwestern Seminary, Kelly and I had gone to church here as a brand new married couple just for 3 months. Actually, we did some church work in another church briefly just for the summer, but we had kind of, North Central was our place, and the pastor here called us when we finished seminary and said that the youth pastor had just decided to do something different. He was going in a different, he had another job opportunity, so we had an opening for youth. Would we come to do youth at North Central? So we were thrilled. This was home for us. And so we came to do youth work here at North Central, and we stayed and loved it, by the way. I still look back at those times, and Chris, I was thinking about what we do here with our youth, and some of the folks in this room, their kids were in our youth group, and I still wonder why they allowed their kids to go anywhere with me, because I didn't know anything about what I was doing. But we had a great time, but y'all, we had a bus, and man, I drove that bus. I came here, let's see, in 85. Okay, so let's see, I was 25 years old. I mean, they sent me off driving a bus in the mountains with all the youth on the bus. And anyway, there's some stories about that I cannot tell you in this room because there are people in this room whose kids were on that bus, and I'm not even going to go there. But anyway, well then, our home church in Jacksonville, they called and they said, would you consider coming here? So we did, and we were there for 18 years. When I first got to First Baptist, the reason I'm telling you this is for what I'm about to tell you right now. The pastor that was there, come on in, y'all. We're glad you're here. The pastor that was there sat me down. He said, Calvin, wherever you go, I want you to take Kelly. I said, yes, sir. No, and we did a lot of trips and things, mission trips and ministry trips. He said, I want you to take Kelly. And he said, we'll make sure she can go. And of course, that meant a lot because I was busy. And I was busy here. Of course, I took Kelly when I was youth director here too, everywhere I went. And as we started having kids, Paul came along first. When we moved to Jackson, we had 3 children. One was 3, one was 2, and one was a brand new baby. And I mean, it's a whole nother story, but Kelly was about to have Rachel, and Kelly's sister Terry went with me in Jacksonville to look for apartments. Well, when Kelly got there, she realized I had rented an apartment on the 2nd floor. We had a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a brand new baby, and there was a guardrail on the balcony, but had slats about that wide. She was as nervous could be, because we had little ones crawling around all over the place, and we were up on this balcony thing. And so she'd call me at work. She'd say, Calvin, we got to find a house. And anyway, that's a whole other story. But the point I'm trying to make is that he sat me down and he said, I want you to take your family with you. What we're talking about tonight as a part of relationships and about the home, I figured out is the reason why he said that to me. Now, we've talked about all these things, these different words, hope, forgiveness, blessing, honor, truth, the church, commitment, love, and legacy. Now, I want you to look in your Bible to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, and I'm going to rely on the overhead here in the back because I'm going to a lot of verses here tonight. So if y'all can help me, y'all are pretty quick on the draw back there, and they'll put it up on the screen for you too. But I like for you to find it in your Bible if you can. In Genesis 1:27, it says this: "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Can I tell you this? You were made special. You're different than all the other creation. Now, I love animals. Okay, I'm not even going to go into the story, but we've had dogs and cats, and we've had, well, dogs, right, really, more, not cats. Kelly grew up with cats, a cat. But we had a couple of dogs one time, Dreyfus and Skipper, and then we had Andy, okay? Amazing. My sanctification grew during all of this, okay? But all I'm trying to say is I love the animals, but you're different than the animals. God created the animals. And I don't know if animals are all going to be in heaven. Now, I know this, the Lord's coming back on a horse. So there's a horse in heaven. So maybe all of our pets will be in heaven. I don't know the answer to all that. But I know this, the Bible makes it clear you're different. You're created in the image of God. Okay, so in number one, in Genesis 1:27, men and women are to reflect God's image. What does it mean to be created in the image of God? It means you have the capacity to know God personally. That's different. That's amazing. Now, we are to be a reflection of God's image to the world. When people see us, they should see the image of the Lord. They should see the qualities of the Lord in us. Now, if you look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, 22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord." I'm gonna actually go through 33. So we're gonna read all this passage. "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of her, with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." Verse 30. "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." 31. "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery." Now, this is the verse I wanted to get to. "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." But this is a mystery. What is in the home is a mystery. And here's what the mystery is. Your home is to be a reflection of God's love for the church. Now, the love that Jesus has for the church is immeasurable. I mean, it is unbelievable, the love. God sent his only son to die on the cross that we might be saved. And so the picture, marriage is to be a picture of Christ in the church. That's the blank number two. And because, number three, since we reflect God's image and marriage is a picture of Christ's love for people, then we should reflect God's character. We should reflect God's character, or you can write in the margin there and put attributes. In other words, if The mystery is that in our relationships, in our homes, we actually can participate in the gospel by reflecting the gospel, by reflecting the love of Christ to the world. Is that making sense? So I picked up on it. The reason that that pastor wanted me to, he wanted Kelly to be with me, was because as the young people saw us interacting, they saw, hopefully this was the case, as they saw us interacting and loving each other, even in pressure situations with three little kids carting them off on a trip, that would actually be preaching the gospel and sharing about the love of God to the young people. And so that was the reason for that. So tonight's lesson, the very top there, the top of on top of number one, tonight's lesson is, I can't do it in one word, and I can do it in two: image bearers. You know that your home is to be an image bearer of the attributes of God. In other words, you think about all these things that we need in our homes. We need hope, we need forgiveness, blessing, honor, truth. We need the church, we need commitment, we need love, we need to think about legacy. I also want you to think about the fact that in your home, you actually, just by the way you interact, it's a mystery. He says, it's a mystery, but I'm speaking to you about Christ and the church. Well, he's just been talking about marriage and about husband-wife relations, about the home. But it's a mystery, folks. God speaks in the relationships in a home. God uses that. And because we are created in his image, then we are to reflect. When people see you and I, Lord willing, hopefully they're seeing the character of Almighty God that has been bred in us, and has been, as we have allowed the Lord to change us, that people see something different in us because we're created in the image of God. We should reflect that. Oftentimes at the end of our service, Robert will say, and he'll pray, and he'll say, Lord, help us to act like your children. Well, what he means by that is that, you know, we are his children, but as we reflect God's attributes to the world, they will see that God is real. They'll see that Christ is real, and they'll be attracted to the ways of the Lord because of the way, if we act like his children, and because of the way we're living. So I want us to think about that, the fact that we are to reflect God's character, God's qualities. All right, number four, we should reflect God's grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9, it says this: but God, who is rich in mercy, and by the way, we should be rich in mercy in our homes. See, we're to reflect this. If God is merciful, we should be merciful. Okay? It says, because he is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we should reflect God's grace. By the way, this is something, we are to reflect it, but can I say this to you? In your relationships, if God is a God of grace and God gave you your spouse, then in God's grace, he gave you his spouse. So gave you your spouse. So if you get upset with your spouse, then you got to go back and remember that the Lord's the one that gave that spouse to you. Okay? So in the message of God's grace to the world, we are to reflect that. And folks, it's a mystery. When we treat each other the way God has treated us, and we have those attributes in our own life, you're literally sharing with the world that Jesus is real. because this isn't natural. It's natural to want your own way and to be selfish and to not act the way that the Lord acts. And so this is very important. So number four is grace. Number five, we should reflect God's goodness. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, the scripture says this, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth.'" You know, the Lord is good. The scripture says that. In Psalm 52:1, the scripture says, "Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually." Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 14, "I will satiate the soul of the priest with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord." Make no mistake about it, the Lord is good. What is it, the psalm, one of the psalms? "For the Lord is good, his mercy endures to all generations." You're an image bearer. I'm an image bearer. So it should be our testimony in our relationships and in our home. Number six, we should reflect God's wisdom. In Job chapter 12, verse 13, the scripture says this, "With him are wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding." Romans chapter 16, verse 27, it says, "To God, alone wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." So the Lord is the ultimate example of all wisdom. We go to him for wisdom. Well, guess what? We should reflect that in our own lives. And by the way, if you get upset with your spouse, you get upset with someone in that relationship in the home to you, just remember that the only wise God gave you the people in your family. So if you have a problem with them, start out by talking to him about it, because he's the only wise God, and he's the one that gave them to you, okay? So you need to make sure that you think about it in that way. But once again, this is a mystery as we reflect these attributes. These are all attributes of God, and we are to be his image bearers, and we're to reflect it. Number seven, quickly, we should reflect God's faithfulness. We know of the faithfulness of the Lord. Hebrews 10:23. The scripture says, do you have that one? Hebrews 10:23. Okay, here we go. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." The Lord is faithful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24 says, "He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." So we are to be faithful in our love for one another in our homes as a demonstration of being an image bearer to the Lord. And it preaches the gospel when we do this. It's a mystery. The home is a mystery, but it professes the love that Christ has for the church. And then number eight, we should reflect God's love. 1 John 4:8 says God is love. For it says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Hosea, it's an amazing passage of scripture in the book of Hosea. In Hosea, the scripture says this, "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him." You know, sometimes we think it's the fear of judgment that drives us to salvation, and there's many that have been drawn to salvation through judgment. Fear of going into eternity without Christ, realizing they're going to spend eternity separated from God in hell, and that is a valid reason to give your life to Christ. But in many ways, in many lives, it is the overwhelming love that God has showed us that draws people to realize, you know, I'm not lovable, and yet God loves me faithfully. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us," the scripture says. So we're to reflect God's love. And then the last one, number nine, we should reflect God's glory. We should reflect God's glory. John 1:14, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. We looked at this morning in Revelation, the glory and majesty of the vision that John had in Revelation for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was that, he had eyes with flaming fire, and he had that, like the Ancient of Days in the book of Zechariah, had a white hair. And anyway, the Bible makes it clear that we are to, that the Lord is full of glory, okay? We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God. And then the verse there in Romans chapter 16, verse 27, to God alone wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And so the Lord is to receive the glory. And so as we are image bearers in the home, if we will look at these attributes and say, Lord, reproduce those attributes in me. Let me be a image bearer. Let me reflect to the glory of God. Let me be faithful. Let me love. Let me show mercy. Lord, let your wisdom come out of my life. Let faithfulness be my testimony. As you do that, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. But you will be sharing about Christ's love for people and the church. So the home, number 10, the home, and strike out the word can. I had a bad thought right there when I typed this out. Strike out the word can and write the word should. The home should be a reflection of the gospel. Today, this afternoon, I just flipped on the TV and they had the Honda Classic on the golf tournament. There's a lot of other things on, but I sometimes just marvel at how those guys can hit that golf ball. And I just sit there and watch that guy. I say, look, I can do that. I always call up my son and tell him, say, I know what I'm doing wrong now. You know, I'm ready to go play. And then I get out there and I can't do what I can envision. The ball just goes sideways. You know, I get my money's worth because I find every place in the course. I mean, I get to see it all. It's really amazing when you play that way. But anyway, I was watching those guys, and it reminded me of a guy named Larry Moody. Now, I'm not sure if Larry's still doing this, but I heard Larry back in seminary on a teaching series. Larry Moody became the chaplain for the PGA Tour. God is moving among some golfers. There's some golfers that really have a walk with the Lord. And I think a lot of it is because of this guy, Larry Moody. Larry Moody is one of the most contagious Christians that I'd ever heard and saw and observed his life. He told the story of being a brand new guy right out of seminary. And he said they lived in an apartment. His wife's name was Ruth. He called her Ruthie. And he said, Ruthie and I were living in an apartment, and there was a family that was next to us, and we've got a burden for them. And so we invited them over for dinner. And he said, they came over, and he said, now, y'all, I had just been through seminary. A lot of my neighbors knew that, you know, we went to church faithfully. And he said, you know, I'd been through seminary, so I was kind of labeled the preacher. And he said, you know, we invited this couple over. They were about our age. And he said, I could tell when the guy walked in. He said, the guy walked in, he's like looking around. It's like, when's he going to get me? You know, when's he going to get me? You know, that was kind of he told the story that way. He said, but we just determined we were just going to get to know this couple and enjoy the time with them. And so we had dinner together and everything, and then we broke out a game and played a game and everything. So about halfway through the game, the guy, his neighbor, turned over to looked at his wife and said, I'm really having fun, you know. I mean, it was like he thought it was going to be like, you know, a Bible study or something. The guy was coming over. And so, and I'll never forget, Larry was such a winsome personality. By the way, I haven't always operated this way, but, you know, when you're really settled in with your relationship with Jesus, you know, you can just love people. This is the way Larry was. Anyway, and so Larry said that, you know, they came and went. He said, we had them back again. He said, we didn't really preach to them. We didn't say, hey, you know, here's a Bible we bought for you. You know, and that would not be wrong. That would be wonderful to do that. But he said, God had put this family next to us. We knew we were going to have a little bit of an ongoing relationship with them. And so we just became their friends. He said, one day, there was a knock at the door, and he opened the door, and here was John, this guy that was his neighbor. John came in, he said, Larry, I got to talk to you. And he and Larry said, settle down. What's going on? He goes, we're about to bust up. He said, man, we're having all kinds of problems. We're fighting like cats and dogs, my wife and I. He said, this is terrible. He said, and I'm sitting there thinking, every time with y'all, y'all look like y'all are having such a wonderful time and you're in love and everything's good. Do y'all ever fuss? And he goes, well, yeah, we do some. But he said, but it doesn't seem that way. He goes, how is it that y'all are doing this? And I'll never forget Larry telling the story to us. He said, I told him, you don't want to know. Just kind of salted him a little bit. And the guy said, no, look, he said, I'm about to lose my wife. We're having knockdown dragouts every night. We just had a bad fight, and I don't even know if I'm going to get back in. He goes, tell me. He goes, John, I don't know if you want to hear what I'm going to tell you. He goes, tell me. And I'll never forget, Larry said, I just looked him in the eye. I said, John, it's Jesus. He said, we have committed ourselves to Jesus Christ, and we're making him the center of our home, and that's the glue that holds us together. And John said to him, I got to have Jesus. And he said that I led John to faith in Christ. And he said, John went and got his wife, and we eventually led her to faith in Christ, and they're some of our very closest friends. Can I tell you something that's really a mystery? Your home can share the gospel. The way you treat one another in your home is such a testimony in this world of just upheaval. In this world of just hateful words. And you can share Jesus in that way. He told another story of being in a different neighborhood later on in his life. And there was a guy across the street that was painting his house. And he said, I went over there and said, hey, I came over here to help. I got on my painting clothes and I brought my brushes. And the guy looked at him like, what are you here for? He said, no, it looks like you're painting your house. I want to help you. He said, are you for real? He said, yeah, man, I brought my ladder. Give me some paint. Let's get on it. So he helped him paint his house, and he found out the guy really liked golf. And, of course, Larry got involved in the PGA Tour somehow as a chaplain. He was a chaplain for the PGA Tour. But he said the latest ping putter, if you're a golfer, you know what I'm talking about, the latest ping putter. I've tried all the latest ones. I still can't putt. But anyway, this guy was into golf, and he said, I went and bought him the latest ping putter, and one day I took it over there and handed it to him. I said, I got this for you. He said, the guy just flipped out. He didn't know how to handle that. He said, what do you mean you got this for me? He goes, no, you know, we're buddies, and I know you like golf, and try this one. See if it'll help your score. And he didn't know what to do with Larry. He ended up winning this guy to Christ because he just loved him. His relationship in the home was preaching the gospel. I think I figured it out. The reason Dr. Lindsay said, I want you to take Kelly, is because when I'm ornery and going 100 miles an hour and she's there And she's being sweet to me in the midst of all of that. It was sending a message to those young people that Jesus Christ is real. And if I ever was sweet to her, it was sending a message that Jesus Christ is real. I'm telling you, in your home, you are to be an image bearer. God can use you in a powerful, powerful way. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.